but maybe there are. Can't have everything. Okay, Rabbi Sai, so we were speaking yesterday about Tkiyah Shofar at home.
Hold on.
Yeah. We were speaking yesterday about Tkiyah Shofar B'Yechidus, and we said that the Nitta Gavriel is choizer from what he said previously. So originally he had held that you do not blow shofar at home. And the reason was because, for two reasons. He said, why do we blow shofar every day in shul? So we said there were two reasons. On Rosh Chodesh, it's in order to commemorate that Moshe Rabbeinu went up B'Kol HaShofar to the mountain for the third time on Rosh Chodesh Elul. And he was accompanied, there was a big matzav, and he was accompanied by the whole of Klal Yisrael in order that they shouldn't forget and miscalculate and Chas V'Sholom get to another Egel, Chas V'Sholom 40 days later. So therefore, they made a big mamad, they made a big matzav out of it, and they blew shofaris. That was one reason that we had, but that only helps us for Rosh Chodesh Elul itself. After Rosh Chodesh Elul, from that day onwards, then the blowing of the shofar is because Eitok HaShofar Bi Avom Lo Yechrodu, says the Nitta Gavriel that I held, and so I found in a sefer called, I remember, he brings down a sefer as well, that he says that it comes out that Sai on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and Sai because of the Pasuk, Eitok HaShofar Bo'ir, Vom lo yechrodu, they're both mashma that the blowing of the shofar is being done in public. Therefore, I held that the tikkun of blowing the shofar, sai mishum tshuva, because of the pasuk, haitoka shofar bo'ir, and sai mishum because they were accompanying Moshe Rabbeinu to go up the mountain, were both done originally in public. Therefore, logically speaking, our minhag to blow the shofar, tkiyah shofar and elul, should also be only in public. That's what he says originally. But then he says, I saw a sefer called Shalos Teshuvah Siach Yitzchok Lagon Rabbi Yitzchok from Verboi. I do not know who he is. Do you know who he is? Siach Yitzchok from Verboi. I don't even know where Verboi is. I could find out maybe. And he says there that one should blow even B'Yechidus. He says why? He says because the idea of the Tekiyas is in order to be Moir Teshuvah. He said, if somebody can't say, somebody can't attend davening but Tibor, he's still daven slichas at home. Why is daven slichas at home? Because shum tshuva. In order to be moira him to tshuva, he says the slichas at home. He says if you can say the slichas at home, even if there isn't a minyan mishum tshuva, then why not blow the shofar as well? He says, and he says v'siyim, and he says there ze kamashonim darkom lahade lishmoet kias midayoyim biyoyim v'chodesh harachmim afim ispallu biyichidus. I don't know when this was. Maybe it was during the war, or they had a minig to daven biyichidus. He says darkom lishmoet kias midayoyim biyoyim v'chodesh elul, that every day during chodesh elul they daven biyichidus afim ispallu biyichidus and they blew shofar. He says v'chein noah kvoy kadosh zadmem ulibavich zatzal litkoya gam sheispallu biyichidus, that even when he daven biyichidus he had the minig to blow shofar. So the logic says, it says originally the original takana was lezeicha that we blew shofar in public, but he says heyois that it's an inyan of teshuvah. Therefore, you can blow, or maybe one should blow, if you've got a shofar and you're davening at home for some reason. In the same way that you say slichas, you should blow the shofar as well at home and wake up the entire district. Okay, one more. We've got a minute. Less than a minute, to a question of whether or not one should blow shofar balaylo. Yeah, so we said that there is a minhag luchula alma to blow shofar on shachris during elul, and some have a minhag to blow at mincha, and some even have a minhag to blow at maariv, and we discussed those who have a minhag to blow at maariv whether or not they should blow on Motzei Shabbos as well, and we the maskana was that they blow at Motzei Shabbos as well. But some people say that at night is a time of din, and one shouldn't be ma'ir dinim at night, and therefore one shouldn't blow shofar at night. He brings down that there's sefer moed l'kol chai and orcho shulchan who say one should not blow shofar at night. He says even if you're a bal tekeah and you're practicing for Rosh Hashanah, and therefore you want to spend time, and you've got time at night, he says you shouldn't blow. But he says that there are others for him. The Magen Avraham writes clearly that afilu before Rosh Hashanah, it's mashma, the b'chol ha-kodesh shor l'skoya, afilu b'laylo. So according to the Magen Avraham, it's mutter, but there are some who are makbid.
But why Shofar Din? We're talking about this during Elul. During Elul is to be Oyev Shuvah.
Correct, right? But every night, Rosh Hashanah, every night in the year is a Zman of Din.
I get that. So, but by Loim Shofar, Shofar is the purpose of Loim Shofar is for to be Oyev Shuvah now.
Yeah. But
so it's not on Rosh Hashanah, maybe.
It's being So that maybe is another tzad as to why those who are Matis say there's no problem with it.
Started at Turaway, Northwest London, Monday, Yud Beis Elul, 16th of September. Rabbi Shimon Heller, Shlita, Kol HaShofar. This week's Torah is sponsored by Family Feingold. Look for the simultaneism of Hershey Kopzil, Nerior, and Peril of Feingold. Shatichia's Castle will take place tomorrow, Mitz Hashem. Yerotzen, Shimon Abayis, Neimon, Bishol Hashem, Lissalov, Ischus, Hashvim, Acholim, Amilchamo, Shachzul, Votzem, Lisholom, Bimheiro.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody. So here we are working our way through Elul. Elul is the Ani L'doidi, making a connection to Hashem, and through Elul, we strengthen and strengthen that connection. The zenith being Rosh Hashanah, which is Malchios. The whole day being Malamlech Hashem, being Mamlech Hashem, so it's a Mahalach. Elul is Ani L'doidi, connecting to Hashem. The ultimate is Rosh Hashanah, which is Malchios. And then the ultimate, the sea of Rosh Hashanah, it is Mant Kiyas Shofar, where we're coronating the Eibishter, the coronation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Mefarshim tell us how powerful Kiyas Shofar is, where we're Mamlech Hashem on ourselves and on the entire world. And at that point, it's Begede Kodesh Kadoshim. We've entered the Kodesh Kadoshim at that moment of Kiyas Shofar. Now, over Rosh Hashanah, we blow 100 Tekiyas, 100 P.E.O.s, 100 blows through this Shofar. And Chazal say, what is behind the 100 Tekiyas? Is connected the 100 cries of Aim Sisra, the 100 P.E.O.s, the 100 moans of the mother of Sisra. What is the story of Aim Sisra? That we on Rosh Hashanah are blowing 100 tekiyas against the 100 cries of Aim Sisra. So, Sisra was a power. Sisra was incredibly strong. Sisra conquered the entire world. One man, Sisra, conquered the entire world. Now, he had armies, and his armies followed him into battle, but it was not the strength of his armies, it was him. Whatever army is going to be behind him, he will win the war. And indeed, once again, he conquers the entire world. The Mefarshim tell us how powerful Sisera was. Sisera would come to a city surrounded by a wall, he would roar, and the wall would crumble. If he would see an animal, he would shout, and the animal would freeze with terror. His soldiers would go, slaughter the animal, and feed it to all his men. Sisera was the atom bomb who conquers the world. Any army behind him is guaranteed victory, because they'll come to a city, he'll start roaring, the walls of the city will crumble, the people are frozen from fear, all his soldiers have to do is go and kill them. And so Sisera conquers the world, and he has one nation left, Klal Yisrael, that is like the last of his incredible power. Klal Yisrael. And he comes to war against Barak in Har Tavor. And we know if he would have naturally gone to war, he would have won the war, and Hashem made incredible miracles, and Hashem changed the whole astrology and took out the stars, and it was burning hot. His soldiers went down to cool down around Nahal Kishon. Nahal Kishon washed them all away. He himself ran away. He runs past the tent of Yael. Yael beckons him into her tent. He goes into Yael's tent. He does what he does. She weakens him and she kills him. And incredible salvation. Now Yael, the Voira, the Neviah, sings a Shira. And she tells Obah the emotions of the mother of Sisera as he's gone to battle, waiting for her son to come home. And these are the words of the Psukim, and these are where we have the cries of the mother of Sisera. And this is what Yael tells us Obah. Ba'at ha'chaloin, by the window, Nishkeva, she was staring, Vati Yabev, and she cried and moaned, Aim Sisera, the mother of Sisera. Ba'at ha'eshnov, by the peephole. So you can imagine the mother is standing at home, she's looking through the peephole, she's looking through the cracks, and she's waiting for her son, and she's crying. And she says, Madua boishesh richvoy lovoy, why is his chariot late in coming? Why is it late? Why is it delayed? The bells of his chariot. He's gone to battle. She's assumed he should be home by now. We know he's dead. She doesn't know that. She doesn't know where he is. She's standing waiting for him to come back, looking through the peepholes, looking through the cracks. Why is my son late in coming? Why don't I hear the bells of his chariot? Say the Mefarshim. She said, why is he late in coming home? So say Chazal, Boi Sheish is Ba Sheish. It's already 6 o'clock. She made a calculation. She said like this. He left the house at 12. It should take him 2 hours to get to Har Tavor to make the battle. 2 hours to win the battle. 2 hours to get home. By 6, he should be home. Food was on the gas ready. She was ready to give him his supper. 6 o'clock has come and he's not here. So Madua Boi Sheish Lovoi. It's already 6 o'clock. Why is he late in coming? Why is he not home yet? And she's standing and she's crying and she's moaning, looking through the cracks, waiting for her son. The cleverest of her maidens answered her, and they said, the reason why he's late is because he's giving out the spoils of war. Now the next words of the Navi, I wouldn't even dare to say such words if not that it's written in the Navi. It's just so disgusting. But this is what she is thinking to herself. That again, if the Navi wouldn't say these words, I wouldn't even repeat them. But this is what they say to her. Hello, Yimtu Yechal Kushal is giving out the spoils of war. Rachem Rachmasayim Leroish Gover. Literally translated, a womb, two wombs for every single man. He's giving out the spoils of war to his men. Shalal Rikmasayim, all beautiful embroideries, and that's what he's doing. And when she hears that, she said, yes, you're right. And she's Mischazik, and now she's happy. So the mother of Sisera is waiting for her son to come home. She's a bit nervous. He's running late. It's 6 o'clock. He's not home yet. She starts to cry, and then they calm her down. It's okay. Just give out spoils of war. It's part of it. It's giving out the spoils. Rechem, Rachmasayim, Roish Gover. And now she's happy. And because she cried, at that point when she's waiting for her son, 100 cries, that's why we blow 100 tekiyos on our shofar on Rosh Hashanah. What do we have with Im Sisera? This woman is so cruel. She's so sadistic. She's the epitome of evil. And we care about her on Rosh Hashanah. She is waiting for her own son. She is missing her own child and she's crying. And a minute later, they calm her down. He's giving out spoils of war. And she conjures in her mind the scene of her son, the great victor, standing on a mountain of mutilated bodies, there holding his sword, dripping in blood, half and three-quarter bodies underneath him, people screaming with pain, dying, women being thrown apart, the mother and the daughter being ripped apart, the daughter goes to this soldier, the mother to that one, and everyone screaming and shrieking. And the wife can see her husband mutilated under the feet of Sisera. And their Sisera, the great conqueror, and now the entire nation destroyed, people's lives turned upside down, and she's suddenly happy. She herself cried for a child 2 minutes ago, but all she cares is her own selfish life, her own child. Everybody else can suffer. Everyone else can be destroyed. And we care for the 100 cries of Aim Sisera as she was waiting for her son on Rosh Hashanah. We blow 100 kiss. At that moment of Kodesh, what do we have with the cries of Aim Sisera? We need to neutralize her cries. What do we have with the cries of Aim Sisera? But Rabbi said, there's many, many incredible messages. Let's see if we have time for two today, but many incredible messages in this parasha. Let's see the first malach. Sisera is one man who conquered the whole world. One man who conquered the whole world. How did he do that? How does one person conquer the whole world? Even though he was very powerful, and he certainly was, and he had incredible strength. But even if people have incredible strength, very few people manage to take out all their potential. None of us use even a fraction of our potential in our brains, in our body. Somehow, even if he was a very strong person, he managed to take out his entire potential. One man ruled the entire world. How did Sisera do this? What brought out his inner strength to bring him to become the conqueror of the whole world? And the answer is, there was one person he knew, one Ezrach, one of his citizens, that was blindly loyal to him, and he knew this. A citizen that cared about him, that wanted to see his success, that believed in him, and that wanted to see his glory. And he knew that. And every single time he went to battle, at the back of his mind, or even at the forefront of his mind, he knows that that citizen is waiting to hear that he's conquered another city. He knows that person believes in him, and he knows he's going to share the joy with that person, and that person will be elated on his next success. And he couldn't fail that person. He could not fail that person. And every time he went to battle, knowing this person believes in him and is waiting for him, gave him the push, took out all his strength, and conquered the world. And who was that citizen? That was his mother. His mother was blindly loyal to him, cared and waited and craved to see his success. And when he finally went on his last battle against the Jewish people, she makes a cheshbon. And at 6 o'clock, she is waiting, looking through the window, peeking through the peephole. Where is he? I have to see him home already. Now, I want to explain something. She didn't think that he'd been killed in battle. She didn't have a hover minute that he was killed in battle. Nobody can kill Sisera. He's invincible. She was crying because she's saying, why is he not home already? I can't wait to see his glory. I can't wait to see another country under his belt. The Lashon is, Madua boy sheshlobe, madua ichru pame marka voisov. Why can't I hear the bells of his chariot? I can't wait to see his glory. She's so yearning to see his next success that if he wasn't home the moment she made the cheshbon, I can't wait. I need to see the bells already. I need to see the chariot. She's crying from excitement, or not from worry, but from the anticipation. He's another even more powerful leader. Madua ichru pame marka voisov. Why don't I yet see the bells of the chariot? And she's waiting with emotions for a child. That mother gave him the inner strength. She believed in him, and he became the king of the entire world. And now I've got a question, Rabbi Yisai. Do we not have a father? Do we not have a father, Melech Malchei Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is, but not in a visible way, who should be the king over the entire world? Do we yearn and wait for Kavod Shemayim? Do we stand with anticipation, when will Hashem rule over the world? If we would have the same wish for the Malchus of Hashem, Moshiach would long be here. If one woman in the Koyach of Tumah, because she really wanted the child and craved for him, will turn him into a conqueror of the world, a boss of Adam. If we would only want the Rabbein Shalom to be here and crave and yearn Moshiach and covet Shamayim, Moshiach would long have been here. Madua boy sheish lavoi. Why is my son late? It's already 6 o'clock. Rabbi said, we're ready in the Elef Hashishi. We're in the last 1,000 years of the duration of the world. We're already 6 o'clock on the clock. Moshiach was supposed to come at the beginning of the Elef HaChamishi. Moshiach is already 1,500 years late. He was supposed to be in the beginning of the Elef HaChamishi. Madua boy sheish lavoi. Why is he late in coming? If we would only want Mashiach, he would long be here. But why is he not here? Because Tzion Doirish ain't no. Because nobody's waiting for Mashiach. Nobody really wants Mashiach. We're very complacent with our lives. We're very happy with the way things are. And we're not waiting and craving for Mashiach. If we would want and crave for Mashiach the same way that she wanted a child to rule over the whole world, then Mashiach would long have been here. And therefore, on Rosh Hashanah, at that pinnacle when we mamlech the Rabbein Shem, we blow that shofar. We blow 100 pi'iyot, which is like 100 cries. And what we're doing is we're copying the 100 cries of Aim Shal Sisera. And what she did b'tumah, we're doing b'kedusha. And we're crying, we're meitzit v'nacharak, and we're saying, Rabbein Shalom, Rabbein Shalom, we want you. We want you to rule over the world like she wanted her child. And if we'd really feel that, it would really be. Whenever you're Doirish Hashem, you always get a reply. Whenever you want the Ashuras Hashchina, you always get the Ashuras Hashchina. Straight after Rosh Hashanah, we have Sukkos. What is Sukkos? The Eibusha comes to us. Tzila Deem Nusa comes into our houses, into our Sukkos, because we asked for it. Because we stood in Rosh Hashanah and we said, Meloich al kol ha'olam kulay b'chvoidecha. And if we're Doirish Malchus Shamayim, and we said, Hashem, we want your Melucha, we get it. But we only get it in our Sukkos. Because we didn't ask for it powerful enough. We didn't ask it as a nation, but if we'd really all scream, Meloich al kol ha'olam kulay b'chvoidecha, then we wouldn't sit only in our Sukkos. We would have Sukkos Dovet HaNefales. We would have the Beis HaMikdosh. And that, Rabbi Yisai, is the first Mahalach in Aim Sisera. We blow 100 tekiyos to copy Aim Sisera, to show the yearning and the craving that we really wait and we really anticipate Mashiach. And if we'd feel it in a real way, and we'd really have the emotions that she had, then if she can turn a boss of Adam into a conqueror of the world, we could certainly do that and see Mashiach, Halavai, and Sukkos Dovet HaNefales. There's another incredible message out of the story of Aim Sisera, particularly for us this year. We're going into Rosh Hashanah, we're in the middle of a horrible war. Last Rosh Hashanah, we went into Rosh Hashanah, the world was relatively stable. This year, we're going to Rosh Hashanah, a war, everything around us, it's a Rosh Hashanah of battle. So there's another message in Aim Sisera that really, really brings out, very, very chasper message, how we go into Rosh Hashanah in the middle of war. Yesterday morning, I live in Kiryat Sefer, The whole of Kiryat Sefer were up early yesterday morning. We had the Koil Shofar Gadol Ma'od, 6:20 in the morning. We had the siren that went off. I told my wife, it's not from Gaza, they can't reach Kiryat Sefer. It's not from the north, because they can't reach Kiryat Sefer. Came all the way from Tayman. Ah, chutzpah, from Tayman to Kiryat Sefer. The whole of Kiryat Sefer were up early. I said, no, up so early, I'll go to the mikveh. The whole of Kiryat Sefer were there. Like, everyone was walking around the streets, finished. The ultimate Kol Shofar. Here we are in the middle of a battle. It's screaming to us something. It's a Kol Shofar telling us, do something, get ready for this war. We are now Erev Rosh Hashanah. So what is the other message we can take out of the story of Sisera? So if you read through the parasha of the Navi, there are a lot of little questions you can ask. And the little question gives us an incredible insight. So let's read once again through the story. Let's be medayik the psukim, and let's see a beautiful message. So the pasuk says, Vatishlach, this is Devorah, she calls Barak ben Avinoyam, and she says to him, Halaytziv Hashem l'kei Yisrael, etzavah from Hashem, go to Har Tavor, and bring 10,000 people to go to battle against Israel. So Yael, Devorah, who's the Neviah, tells Barak to go to Har Tavor to gather 10,000 people to go to battle. The pasuk says, Vayazek Barak es Zevolim es Naphtali. Barak calls these two Shvatim together, Kedshah, to a place called Kedshah, and from there he goes to battle. Hashem told him to go to Har Tavor. He went to a place called Kedshah. What is this Kedshah? What is this place? What does it mean he went to Kedshah? Question number one. Okay. Let's go back to the Pesukim of Eim Sisera, and let's be medayik the Pesukim. And the pasuk said like this. Ba'ad achaloin, by the window, Nishkevah, she was peeking and looking, Vatiyabev, and she cried, Eim Sisera, the mother of Sisera, Ba'ad eshtov, she's looking through the peephole, and she says, Madua boishish richboi lovoi, why is his chariot late in coming? Madua ichrupame markavoisov, why don't I hear the bells of his chariots? Chochmois soreseho ta'aneno. The cleverest of her maidens, they answered her. Afi toshiv amore alo, and she confirmed it, and they said, Hello Yimtsu Yechalik Shalol. He's giving out the spars of war, the Shalol. Rechem Rachmasaim Loresh Gover. A womb, two wombs to every man. Shalal Tzavoim, the Sisera, all sorts of beautiful embroidery. Shalal Tzavoim Rikma. Tseva Rikmasaim Letzavre Shalol. He's giving away all these embroidery on the necks of his Shalol, of his spars of war. Kein Yoivedu Korevecho Hashem. In the same way, all Hashem's enemies should be destroyed. V'oyavov Kesei Tashem Shbik Burasim. I've got five questions on this Navi. Five questions on this piece of Navi. Question number one, what is Kedshah? Hashem told him to go from Har Tavor. He went from Kedshah. What is this place called Kedshah? Question number two. She's wondering why Hassan's late in coming home. Where is he? Chachmois soroiseho ta'aneno. The cleverest of her maidens answered and they said, the reason why he's late is because he's giving out the spoils of war. Very interesting lashon. The chokhmah soroseho, the cleverest of her maidens. There seems to be a tremendous chokhmah here. The cleverest of her maidens worked out these giving out the spoils of war. What's the grace of chokhmah? He went to battle. He's not home yet. So giving out spoils of war. Okay, we're making a cheshbon. He's not home, so he's got spoils of war. He's giving it out. Why is it chokhmah soroseho? What was the tremendous chokhmah? The cleverest of her maidens made the cheshbon. He's giving out the spoils of war. What was the chokhmah? In addition, why didn't Eim Sisera work it out herself? She made the whole cheshbon. What time he should be home? By 6 o'clock. Why didn't she put into the calculation that he's going to be giving out spoils of war? This is not his first battle. He's conquered the whole world. So she's got experience. So he's conquered country after country. And obviously every other country has got spoils of war, which no doubt he gave out to all his men. So she knows that every war takes time. And included in the calculation of the war, no doubt, is giving out spoils. So why didn't the mother of Sisera work out herself and calculate the giving out of the spoils of war in her calculation? So, A, what was the chokhmah of the Soros who told it? And secondly, why didn't she work it out herself? Question number three. The Lashon Rechem Rachmosayim L'Roish Gover. Very, very, very unusual Lashon. Even if we're quoting evil people, it's still an unusual Lashon. I would expect to say, Naro V'Naro L'Roish Gover, V'Sulo V'Sulto L'Roish Gover, Alma V'Alma L'Roish Gover. But such a Lashon, Rechem Rachmosayim L'Roish Gover, it's a very strange Lashon to use, even evil people who we are quoting. They carry on, they say, he's giving out the embroidery. And the Lashon of the Pasuk is, Tseva Rikmosayim L'Tzavrei Shalom. They gave out this beautiful, colorful embroidery for the necks of the Shalom. What do you mean for the necks of the Shalom? This is the Shalom. So the Mitzvah Stav said, for the necks of the soldiers who are taking the Shalom. In other words, you're giving out the embroidery to his soldiers who are taking the Shalom. But that's not the literal Pasuk. The Pasuk says, she's giving out embroidery, L'Roish Shalom, to the necks of the Shalom. The shalol is what you're taking. You're stealing it from the people. The shalol are the maidservants, and you're giving it to the people who are taking the shalol, your soldiers. And again, that's what the sister said. That's not the lashon of the pasuk. She finishes off by saying, "Kein yoveidu korei v'Hashem. Hashem, may all your soldiers be destroyed in the same way. And those that Hashem loves have got the strength of the sun in its zenith." What is this? Who's talking about? Where does that come into the story? So Rabbi said, every Navi, there's always depth. There's always another dimension. Every physical battle is a spiritual battle. Let's understand what happened in this story. Bilam is the strongest force that ever came against the Jewish people. We've never had a threat like Bilam. The mouth of Bilam is the strongest power that ever came against us. He came to curse Klal Yisrael and he failed. And when Bilam failed, he realized, nobody can overpower the Jewish people. If my mouth cannot destroy the Jewish people, nobody can destroy the Jewish people. So he goes to Balak and said, listen, you will never be able to destroy that nation with all the armies in the world. One thing will destroy them. They have to destroy themselves. And the way they destroy themselves is to take away their Kedusha. Like Shimshon, as long as he's a Nazir, he's invincible. But if you cut off that hair and you take away his Naziris, he's Kechol Adam. He loses all his powers. If you want to destroy the Jewish people, says Bilam to Balak, you have to destroy their Kedusha. If you can be Metama their Kedusha and they no longer hold on their Kedusha, they've lost the whole mile of the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, then you can destroy them. Balak does that. He's Mafkir's daughters. And he did tremendous damage. And many, many, many died. But the pasuk tells us, if not for Pinchas ben Elazar, Heshev es Chamasi, the pasuk says, Hashem would have been Mechalek Klal Yisrael. If not that Pinchas came with his Cheredas Kodesh and prevented any further tuma, Hashem said, I would have destroyed Klal Yisrael, ben Nokrem es Nikmasi Bahem. Bilam was so right that if not for the person who stopped the spread of tuma, we would have been totally lost. The ultimate koyach to destroy the Jewish people is through destroying them through themselves by taking away their kedusha. Because our kedusha is our strength. And we have kedusha, we are invincible. There's a sefer called Megillas Storim, I think it's called. It's by the Baal Nesivos HaMishpat. And it's a sefer on the Megillas Esther. And he explains that the whole plan of Achashverosh and of Haman, he explains. He goes through the whole Megillas Esther. And he said Achashverosh wanted to destroy the Jewish people. But he knew the only way to do it is to take away the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. And he said the whole Sodas Achashverosh, it was one plan with one tachlis to get the Jewish people, to wind them and dine them, to influence them, and to be machti them. And the whole story of Vashti was not a random story. It was all pre-planned, and Vashti knew it, and he's going to bring Vashti in a very immoral way, and then everyone's going to bring their wives, it's going to be Taruvois, Klal Yisrael there, and we've destroyed them. And he goes through the whole Megillas Esther, and he says, Bachatzar Ginas Bisan HaMelech. What is Bachatzar Ginas Bisan HaMelech? He said there was a Chotzer. The Chotzer is where they had the party. The Chotzer, you have to have a lot of place. What's the Gina? The Gina is where you metile with the Zoynos. It's a place to be metal, which is moitzi all the regesh, and then there's a bison. The bison is a tiny, small, closed place, and that's already shlav achri shlav to be machti klai sovad aveiros. And he says, chor karpas atcheles, ochus bechavli putzvar gomon. Why does the Novi have to tell us? Why does Esther tell us all the different colors? He said, because he specially put very colorful materials around, and embroidery, because it's margli de aveira. And the whole plan of Achashverosh was to destroy Klal Yisrael by destroying their kedusha. Coming back to our story. The story of Sisera is the second half of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because Chazal tell us, when the Mitzrayim were thrown into the Yamsuf, Hashem told the Yam to throw out the bodies. And the Yamsuf said, Hashem, you give something to us and you take it away from us. You gave me all these bodies, now you're taking it. Hashem, I'll give you back in the future. One day I'll give you many more bodies. And that's the bodies of all the servants of Sisera that were thrown into Nahal Kishon. Now, whenever you have a connection between two stories, it means that the two stories are connected. So the same idea of threat that we had in Mitzrayim, we have by Sisera. What was Paro's strategy to destroy the Jewish people? He said like this, we're going to kill all the males. I want to get rid of the Jews. We're going to kill all the males. And we're going to keep the females. Why? To be metama them. Paro knew, why didn't you just kill everybody? You want to get rid of the Jews? We're going to kill everybody. Call Hayilait, kill him. No. Pari said there's no way you can destroy the Jewish people. And if you try and kill every single one will survive. And for that one Bas Yisrael, will be a new nation. And therefore the only way I can destroy them is by killing the boys, taking the other half of the nation, being mefata the women, being putting him in their kedusha, and then we can destroy the whole nation. Kona ben Hayilait, Hayoyot HaShechubu Chol HaBas Techan. This Rabbi Yisai was a strategy of Sisera as well. So what happened by Sisera? We have the armies. We have Sisera coming to destroy Klal Yisrael. He's the strongest person in the world, but he knows strength alone cannot destroy the Bnei Yisrael. So he comes to fight Klal Yisrael, and he comes all the way to Har Tavor. He doesn't come home, and his mother says, "Where is he?" And the maiden said, the cleverest of the maidens said, he's staying in the battleground to be metame the kedusha of Klal Yisrael. He's not just coming home. He's staying there because he's got a matara to be metame the kedusha of Klal Yisrael. And if we do the same thing, he's killing all the men and he's being metame the kolabas techayim. Now that was tremendous chokhmah, because it was a new strategy. It's something that had never been used in his battles before, specifically and only against Klal Yisrael, where the war against Klal Yisrael is a war against the Kedusha. And that's what the Chochmah Yisrael said. They said, here there's a whole spiritual strategy, because without that dimension, he cannot destroy Klal Yisrael. And that's why it's got a lotion of Rechem Rachmasayim, because this wasn't stam Avirus. This wasn't stam. He would have come home with a shot. It was an inyan of being poigim, the Kedusha of the Bnei Yisrael, the future Doiris. Rechem Rachmasayim, to go into the very Kedusha of Klal Yisrael and destroy the future generations. And that's why she herself didn't work it out. That's why the mother didn't put it into her cheshbon, because it had never been in a previous battle. Because every battle he takes his bottle of water home, and when he gets home he gives it all out. But here's a different strategy. Here he has to destroy them. And therefore we came with the idea of being poigim the kedusha of Klal Yisrael. So why didn't it work? Why didn't it work? Because this is all the theory. The Maisi, it wasn't. The Maisi lost the battle. Because Borak went from Kedusha. What is Kedusha? Before he went out to battle, he was Mekadosh himself and his soldiers. He said, Rabbi, so we're going to battle. Kedushim to you. What did we read in last week's parasha? Parashas Kisetze. Hashem is here with you to fight your battles. Hashem, that I put your enemies in your hands. But tonight to win your battles. Because if chas v'sholem, then you're on your own and there's no way you can win the battle. But here they went from Kedusha. Kedusha is, they were mekadosh themselves before they went. And because they were mekadosh themselves before they went, in massive armies of Sisera all fall apart before the Jewish people. And that's why I said, Rechem Rikmasayim L'Tzavrei Sholol. He said, we're going to take the Rechem Rikmasayim, the embroideries, and we're going to put it on the Tzavrei Sholol. We're going to put it on our Sholol. Now there's going to be Mekashet, the Bnei Yisrael, in order to bring them to do Averis. He was giving the Rechem Rikmasayim, the beautiful embroidery, on the Rosh Sholol to be Mekashet, to bring them to Avera. But ultimately, Klal Yisrael Mekadosh themselves, and therefore he's the one who fell. And that's why it finishes with the words, Va'oyavov kaseis Hashemish big vurasei. Kein yevedu kol evecha Hashem. Va'oyavov kaseis Hashemish big vurasei. Hashem, all your enemies should be destroyed. Va'oyavov kaseis Hashemish big vurasei. Ezu gibor hakoyvish es Yitzroi. My beloved one, kaseis Hashemish big vurasei, who are mekadosh themselves, that gave them the nitzachon, and that's why they're going to be able to win this battle. That is the pasuk we read last week's parasha, and that is the tonight to win a battle. Va'hoya machanecha kodesh. If you find a dead body, we have the halach of Egla Rufo. If there's a dead body, it is a tragedy. And something has to be done, and we bring the Egla Rufo, we make a whole inyan of the dead body. And the Bzikniyah, you have to stand and have to say, Yodeinu lo shofchu es adam, veineinu lo ro. Our hands, we never spilled that blood. And our eyes, we didn't see whatever brought to spill this blood. We are innocent for this spilled blood. The sons of Ruf was Madaik, that pasuk. And he said, I want to pshat in that pasuk. And he said like this. A person will come to Shammai for 120 years. He's very frightened. He knows he's got a din b'cheshbon. He stands there. And the malachim scream, murderer! He said, I murdered somebody? Yeah, you're a murderer. Me? He said, listen, I'm very frightened of my din b'cheshbon. I've come late for shachris plenty of times. I know I'm going to have to deal with this. But murder is one thing I never worried about. I've never harmed a fly. I'm not a murderer. I've never hurt anybody. What do you mean you're a murderer? Where did I murder? They said, you don't realize this guy, Otefazah, they broke into his house. They burnt him and his whole family. So what's that got to do with me? What's that got to do with me? I've got nothing to do with this. I cried like everybody else. Says the sons of Ruf. Yodeinu leishofchu adam, veineinu leiro, or to quote the sons of Ruf. Yodaini leishofchis adam, veineini leirui. Says the sons of Ruf. My hands didn't spill the blood, but my eyes didn't see things I'm not supposed to see. Says the sons of Ruf. It is impossible for an arrow, he's not talking about the arrows, but in our scenario, for the Arabs to break out of Gaza and kill a Jew. Impossible. The Jews are Kodesh Kadoshim. We're invincible. Sisera is the strongest person in the world, the strongest armies in the world. He cannot harm a single Jew. Every one of his army died, that single Jew, with nobody falling to him. It's impossible. Because they were Mekadosh themselves before the battle. But if Chas V'Shalom, we're not Oymed on HaKadosha, if we can't say they name they roll, then that Yid can die. And if a Yid dies in one place, it's because another Yid was not Shem on his Kedusha Seder, says the son's roof. And the Mele, they have to say they name they roll. We are innocent, they name they roll. As we come into Rosh Hashanah, and we're coming in the middle of a horrible war, specifically against Yishmael, and it's brought down in many Svarim, that the war against Yishmael is a war of Tznias. The war against Yishmael is a war of Kedusha. And as much as we're Mekadosh ourselves in Shamayim, we guarantee Anitzachan over Yishmael. If we want to be Mekayim that war, as we hear the Me'at Kiyos of the Shofar, we have to do B'hoya B'chanecha Kodesh, and Bezrat Hashem will be Zoicha like he was, to see all the enemies being destroyed, and Be'ezus Hashem Yeshua Gedoyla. Amen, amen. Yeah.